of the Lord. Without the goodness of the Lord, where would we be? Without His faithfulness, without His love and His mercy, where would I be? Oh, that's scary to think about. But then when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that He has done for me, how's that song go? My very soul runneth over. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of John. We'll read in John chapter 14. While you're turning there, I want to say thank you, a special thank you to your pastors, Brother and Sister Pepper. They've seen us before in Kids Crusade and still took us serious enough to ask us back. So we appreciate that. I actually, after I did Kids Crusade one time, I got up and preached that next Sunday at a church. And the pastor said, you know, I had a hard time taking you serious while you were up there preaching because I kept seeing Grandpa come out from behind the stage. So we appreciate it and all the hospitality here today. It's been a blessing to us. I love being with people that love Jesus. And just the way that God has come by in this place today, it would be hard to deny that there's some people here that love Jesus. Amen. I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord. We're looking forward to seeing what He has here for us tonight. The book of John, chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, Jesus speaking, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Praise the Lord. Here for just a little bit, I'd like to talk to us about the gospel according to weddings. The gospel according to weddings. You can be seated if you'd like. I've got some other scriptures that I'm going to read, but I want to talk to us here for a little while about the gospel according to weddings. Now, we drove up here this morning, and I love taking 60 from Neosho. It's a little bit shorter, but even if it was a little bit longer, I think I'd still take it because I love driving by this little church. It's in, is it Afton or Fairland? Fairland. And they always have the best church signs. Today it was 5 more accurate hymns. Number 1, I surrender about 3%. Now, hopefully we'll get a little bit more out of you than that tonight, a little bit more than 3%. And if you all will promise to try to help me, I'll promise to try to hurry. And if you don't help me, then it's your fault. So praise the Lord. The gospel according to weddings. Now this right here, you look at this and your first thought is, Brother Seth, what in the world does that have to do with weddings? And you would expect me to answer nothing. But that's not the truth. The truth of the matter is that this actually has to do very much with the ancient Jewish tradition of weddings. Now I'm going to read a little bit more in Matthew chapter 25. You can turn there if you would like. I'm going to read through here, and then I'm going to tie it all in together, hopefully. And I'll try to talk quick, you try to think quick, and we'll keep up with one another. 25 verse 1, the Bible says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish." Anybody recognize this story yet? "They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Now that first passage that I taught to you and this passage here is actually very closely related in ancient Jewish tradition. Because when it came time for a wedding, what would happen is a man would go to the girl's father and he would ask him for his permission to marry his daughter. Now that doesn't seem so much different from today, right? Hopefully, boys, take notes. You need to ask the girl's dad. And then after he would get the permission, then he would go and he would tell her, hey, we're getting married. And then after that, he would leave. And he would go off to where his father lived. And he would take where his father's house was at and his land and all that surrounded his land. And he would build a house there for him and for his bride. And the very fact that a man was willing to leave where he was at currently, to leave the woman that he loved, to go back to his father's house, was proof that he would come again. The very fact that a man would ask for permission and then go to his father's house meant that he had enough in him to believe that he was coming back someday and he was going to receive that bride to himself. So when Jesus said, I go to my father's house, the very fact that he went away is proof enough for the church that he is coming again someday. There will be a day when he comes to receive his bride unto himself. He's gone away and nobody knew. I mean, can you imagine, ladies? I mean, my wife, I surprised her one time, went down and met her, and she was all excited and everything. But if she didn't know when I was coming back to marry her, we had, what was it, 3-4 months after I asked you to marry me to get everything ready, and then we got married. But can you imagine the bridegroom going off, and you don't know when he's going to show up? Man, it took us the entire 3 or 4 months trying to get everything together for this marriage when we finally got married. From the time I asked her till the day we got married, every day we were talking about something that was going to happen at the wedding. But can you imagine being that bride and every day you have to be ready at any given moment to throw on your wedding gown and go out and meet the bridegroom? Because that's what would happen. At any given moment, the bridegroom, what we see in Matthew 25, could show up. He would send somebody into the town before him, and what he would do is he would look. The reason that it talks about the lamps is that they had, part of their tradition was, if they were still faithful, and they were still willing to be married to this man, and they had kept themselves, then there would be a lamp burning in their window. They had been waiting, faithfully waiting for him. They had kept themselves. They had kept their wedding garment ready so that at any moment they could go and they could meet this bridegroom. And in our lives, it's the same way. God has given us this promise that someday what's going to happen is the bridegroom's coming back. He said that he sent out somebody at midnight and there was a cry made that said, "The bridegroom cometh." And I read in my Bible that it says that one of these days, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to be with the Lord forever in the air. One of these days, it's coming. We don't know the day or the hour. We're waiting for the bridegroom to come back. And so our responsibility in the meantime is to keep that lamp burning, to keep it trimmed, to make sure that all that old filthiness is taken out, that all of that, anything that would keep that lamp from burning is removed from that lamp. And you got to be full of the oil of the Holy Ghost that's going to keep your fire burning. Because at any moment, he could send forth that shout. The sad thing about it is, if that lamp wasn't burning, oftentimes that servant would go into the city where that girl lived. And because the lamp wasn't burning, he would turn around, walk back to the bridegroom and tell him, "She's no longer there for you." And the bridegroom would turn and walk away from that city and never see her again because she had not kept herself. We have but one life. And in this life, we have been given an opportunity to live it for Christ. And at any given moment, He will require of us that we have been faithful, that we have been true to His name, that we have not spotted the garment that He's given us, the garment of His name that He's clothed us with, this name, this precious name of Jesus. And He's coming for us. And someday, He may give that shout, but if you're not ready, He'll turn His back and walk away, and you will never have an opportunity again. What a dreadful thing to have waited all that time and to miss it by so little. But we see that these five wise are brought into the marriage supper. And so I want to take a look at that marriage supper a little bit. In John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "In the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto Him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. Then He saith unto them, Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, or they're not thirsty anymore, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Now, let me explain this part of it a little bit to you. Because in Hebrew tradition, in Jewish tradition, a wedding would take place, and then for 7 days afterwards, they would have a wedding feast. Not seven hours, 7 days. And during those 7 days, it was the responsibility of the bride and bridegroom to give their guests everything that they had need of. Accommodation, food, wine, everything. And if they did not give good enough, then the people that came to the marriage could sue them. Now that sounds like a good way to start out a wedding, doesn't it? Honey, I love you, but we're in debt, a lot of debt. But it also worked the other way. Since they were taking care of these people for 7 days, if the guests that came to the wedding did not bring a gift that was worthy of the occasion, then the bride and bridegroom could sue them. Yeah. Suddenly, giving your daughter away doesn't seem so expensive, does it? 7 days, and they would feast, and they had to make sure that there was enough water, and there was enough wine, and there was enough food to last them for these 7 days. And throughout this entire period, if it ever went wrong, one party or the other could lose just about the clothes off their back. Man, it is stressful. You're right. That stressed me out because I'll tell you what, I definitely did not have enough to last for 7 days at a marriage feast when I got married. Nope. So, when we take this into consideration in our Christian lives, you see, someday we are going to a wedding. The bride of Christ shall rise up. That church that is without spot or wrinkle. Man, one of the most beautiful sights, probably the most beautiful sight I have ever seen, was when they opened the door at that tabernacle we were at when we got married, and my bride stepped out. All white, and came walking down the aisle. It's a feeling that I'll never forget. And one of the most beautiful things as the church that we will ever see is when the bride of Christ is taken up into the air to be forever with Him. Oh, it's a wonderful thing, but just like in that marriage ceremony, there will be a period of judgment. There will be a time where God takes into consideration. You see, the fact of the matter is that God, being the bridegroom, He has to provide. He has to make sure that everything is taken care of. And God, being all-sufficient and all-knowing, He has already provided everything that you could possibly have need of. You aren't going to be able to look at God on that day and say, God, you didn't do enough. God, you weren't good enough. God, I had need of this and need of that, and you just couldn't supply. You won't be able to do that to God, because God is all sufficient. God can supply your every need, and anything that you could ever need, God's got it. The Bible says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That means that everything that you can think of that God can do, it's like this in the midst of infinity. God is so perfect that there is nothing that He cannot do. God can give you everything that you need. And so there will be no people on that day that can point their finger at the bridegroom and say, you did not supply. But on that same token, let's flip that coin around. Did you bring a gift worthy of the bridegroom? I know that we like to look at it and say, well, the judgment day is for God dividing the lost and the saved, and there is that. The lost, they have no hope. They go to hell. There's no hope for them on that day because they were not made white in the precious blood of the Lamb. But there is also a judgment day where your works are tried by fire. There's coming a day where even the Christians will stand up on that day and bring all that they have done and lay it at the feet of Jesus. And only the things that were done for Christ will remain. And on that day, will your gift be worthy of the bridegroom? I remember hearing a preacher. One time he said that he had a dream. He was in heaven. And he was looking around at all the beautiful sights and all the people that were there, and some people that he didn't think would be there were there, and some people that he thought would be weren't there. And he said, I looked around and I saw that all these people were walking down the way and they had these crowns on their head. There was this little woman that, I mean, he'd been a pastor for 20 some odd years. He said, this little old widow woman came walking down with this big old crown, so big her head kept toppling over because it was so big. And what it was, he began to look, and there was an angel coming down the road, and there was this big bunch of stuff in front of him. And each person, he would stop and he would light that pile on fire. And once all the fire had gone out, the person would reach down in the midst of the ashes and grab hold of something. They'd bring it up, and it was their crown. And he said, I watched as they would put it on their heads, and then they would walk to the throne room, and they would take their crown, and it didn't matter how far away they were, they would cast it, and it would land right at the feet of Jesus. And as they did that, they would say, I loved you this much, and would throw their crown at the feet of Jesus. He said it was one of the most wonderful things I'd ever seen as people began to come, and missionaries and people that had just gotten saved on their deathbeds and this, that, and the other, and they would take their crown and cast it at the feet of Jesus, and they would say, I loved you this much. He said, well, I've been working for God a long time, and he just couldn't hardly wait. And the angel came to his pile and lit it on fire. And he reached down in there. He started feeling around. He felt a little more. He said, there's nothing here. And he reached down a little bit more. And finally he felt something. He said, oh, there it is. And he pulled it up. And a gold piece about the size of a thimble, in the shape of a crown. And he said, I began to weep as I realized I was going to have to walk into the throne room and look in the eyes of a Christ that was crucified for me. And look at him and say, I loved you this much. There will be great rejoicing in heaven. And I know that at some point he's going to wipe all the tears away from our eyes. Oh, but what a shame it would be to make it all the way to the gate, only to be able to look into the eyes of the Savior that brought you all the way and say, I loved you this much. Oh, Jesus. I love to think about heaven. I love to dream about heaven. I can't wait to get there. But there will be a day where the gifts that you have brought to the wedding will be judged. And when it comes on that day, what will you bring to the throne room? What will you bring to lay at the feet of Jesus? What will you bring to be able to say, I love you this much? Will it be a crown where you have given your everything? Everything that you possessed, you placed it back into the hands of God and used it for His glory. Everything that you had, everything that you were, you used to be able to bring God glory. And the crown that you bring, you'll have to carry it in your arms because it's so large. Or will it be something where you get to the throne and with shame you lay down your crown at His feet and say, I only loved you this much? But there's good news. Because you see, we haven't made it that far. If your lamp has gone out, you still have time as of right now to trim your lamp, to put oil back in it, and to maintain your Christian walk. You still have the opportunity to make sure that that wedding garment is without spot and without wrinkle. You still have time to make yourself ready so that when the bridegroom cometh and you hear the shout in the middle of the night that he's coming, that you don't have to go to the cellars and try to get right real quick. You ain't going to have time for that. Oh, but you can be ready and know with full assurance that you're going to the wedding. And not only so, but you still have time right now to make it to where you don't get before the throne of Jesus Christ and say, I loved you this much. Because you still have an opportunity to live for Christ, to love Christ with all of your being. You still have an opportunity to get it right with God and to say, God, I give you all of me. Somebody would come to the piano. I'm closing. You will not be able to look God in the eye on that day and say, you didn't do enough. God didn't have to do anything for you, and He still would have been good. And yet God loved you so much that He sent His only Son to die on a cross for your sins. Now, I love you all. I do. But I wouldn't give my Son for you. I'm just being honest with you here. I mean, He is one of the most important things in my life. And I wouldn't give Him. But God, loving you with a perfect love, gave the most precious treasure in heaven, His only begotten Son, so that you, who were worse than the least of these, could find Him and could come back and be in a relationship with Him that you could make yourself ready so one day you could live forever with Him. And you have time right now to decide, where will I fall in the balances on that day? Will it be those that weren't even ready? God forbid. I pray that everybody here is ready for the coming of Christ. I know that there's some that won't make it. The Bible talks about it. It says five were wise and five were foolish, and they all slept. They were all taken by surprise. But the five wise made it and the five foolish didn't. There's going to be a lot of people that you think are ready, that on that day you're going to find them on their knees crying out to God, God, let me in. Lord, Lord, let me in. And He will turn as to those five foolish and say, depart from me, I know you not. But you have the opportunity right now to change all of that. You can come down and recommit or commit for the first time your life to Christ. And if you will believe that He has died for your sins, has taken the punishment of sin upon Himself, and you believe that and ask Him to forgive you of your sins, then the Bible says that He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And He can make a way where you don't have to be at the door on that day saying, Lord, Lord, but instead you're inside the gates, inside the door, praising Him for all of eternity. And you have the opportunity right now to say, God, I want to love you more. I want to have more to give to you on that day. Oh God, just show me and I'll follow you. Here tonight, this is my altar call. I believe it really belongs to everybody here. Whether you're saved or you're unsaved, you can do more for Christ. You should love Christ more. And if you're unsaved, then you can accept Christ here tonight. And you don't have to experience all of those things that those that were cast out into outer darkness experienced. You don't have to experience hell. You don't have to experience being lost in your sin. You don't have to experience that for all of the rest of eternity. But you can experience life and life more abundantly. You can experience the peace that passeth all understanding. You can experience the goodness of God. You can experience the heaven that they sang about tonight. Hey, I'm telling you, it's worth it. And that, my friends, is the gospel according to weddings. The good news is that He loves you enough that He has called you to be His own. And if you will keep yourself and will work on His behalf, you can not only be called and be ready for the marriage supper, but you can have something to offer. The good news. So here tonight, I open up this altars to anybody that'll come. First, I do want to open it up. If there's somebody here that you don't know Jesus Christ, this is your moment. This is your time where you can come down. And if you don't know how to pray, I don't know the people that are here. Maybe everybody here is saved. I sure hope so. But if there's somebody here that you don't know Jesus, you can come down, and myself or somebody here would love to introduce you to Him. There's something about loving people. You want to tell everybody about them. Love to tell you about Jesus, to get you into a relationship with Him. Man, He's the best thing. Whew. I can't get off on that. If I start talking about Jesus, man, I might not stop for a while longer. Because He's so good. He's so good. If you knew where I was at and where He brought me from, then you'd think He was good too. So here tonight, if there's somebody that you want to come down, something that this preacher has said or something you felt in this service has made you want this, then come down, find a place at these altars, and somebody will be more than happy to come down to pray with you, to lead you to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Is there somebody here tonight? I'm not going to tarry long. Anybody? All right, then I want to call the church. Because you see, one day, man, I love watching when good things happen to good people. There's something about it. When I know that somebody, I know somebody and something good happens to them, I just like to rejoice with them. I love to be able to stand by their side and say, man, that's awesome. I'm so happy. Man, this is great. And I would love to be able to stand by your side on that day when we're casting crowns before Jesus' feet and be able to say, oh man, look at that one. Oh man, that's huge. Man, look at that. Isn't that great? Wow, this one did this for Jesus, and this one did this for Jesus. Man, look at your crown. Isn't that awesome? The way that you loved him and just gave yourself for him and really magnified the name of God. Look at that. Wow, that's amazing. I want that for you. I hope that someday I get to stand by your side and watch you cast your crown at Jesus' feet and with joy in your heart be able to say, Lord, I loved you this much. Ooh. So here tonight, this altar is for everybody that's here. Don't look at your neighbor and say it's for you. This is for everybody that's here. Come find a place to pray and ask God. Ask him if he wouldn't just move in you and help you to love him more, to love him better. Oh, if we could just fall in love with Jesus, it would change your world. If we could just fall in love with Jesus, it would change your walk. Oh, fall in love with him here tonight, church. Fall in love with Jesus. Praise the Lord.